Welcome to Money Talk with MFLN Personal Finance. This podcast series offers brief recaps of our recent online professional development webinars targeted at personal finance managers and extension educators who work with military service members. I'm Molly Herndon, Program Coordinator for the Personal Finance Team, and I'm joined by Money Talk herself, Dr. Barbara O'Neill. Dr. O'Neill is a distinguished professor in the School of Environmental and Biological Sciences at Rutgers University and is the Rutgers Cooperative Extension Specialist in Financial Resource Management. Welcome. Today we're going to be talking about our last webinar of 2019, the 2019 Personal Finance Year in Review. Our annual Year in Review webinar has been hosted for the past 5 years by Dr. Barbara O'Neill, and today she shares the five biggest highlights of this year's event. Watch the recording and earn CEUs by visiting militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/event/34456. Okay. Good morning, Dr. O'Neill.
Good morning, Molly.
We're going to talk about our December webinar, 2019 Personal Finance Year in Review. What are some interesting 2019 research study results that were mentioned in the webinar?
Well, this is always a fun webinar because we kind of recap the year's financial events. So with respect to research studies, we had this year the release of the National Financial Capability Study, the data that were collected in 2018. The report was released in 2019. And they found that 53% of over 27,000 respondents agreed that thinking about their finances made them anxious. So, you know, obviously a lot of people are stressed out about money. Another study that I reported on, it kind of was interesting. It concluded that when people hear about low savings amounts, you know, that people only have a very small amount of money saved, or they can't come up with $400 in an emergency, that kind of thing, it actually demotivates people who are poor savers because they think that they're part of a bigger group. You know, they think, well, I'm not the only one that's having problems. It's kind of like when you hear that 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese. If you're in that category, you think, well, okay, I've got a lot of company, can't be doing too bad. So that was a study that had the same kind of conclusion with respect to savings. Another study was about what they call thinking blind spots. And what they concluded is that rather than just ask people to kind of list their financial goals, like pulling them out of their head, offer clients a master list of goals. And they generally will come up with a much better list because sometimes people just don't think about everything, but they see it listed on the list. They say, oh yeah, that's important. Another study found evidence of what they called as soon as thinking. So in other words, people are thinking sequentially with their financial goals rather than concurrently. So they're not going to work on goal B until they got goal A attained. And the problem there is that saving for retirement is usually the last thing on the list. And then you can set that back by decades and not have all that compound interest. So the takeaway there was to encourage people to fund multiple goals at the same time. Another study found that people will save more if you frame their savings deposits very granularly. In other words, the smallest possible increment, like $5 a day, rather than $150 a month. I mean, either way, you end up with $150, but people just respond a whole lot better if they see smaller dollar amounts, because I guess it feels more doable to people. There was another study that came out from the World Health Organization that just stressed the importance of taking care of your physical health to reduce dementia risks. So obviously dementia is a really wealth-draining affliction that people would have. And what the World Health Organization recommends is that you practice the same practices to reduce your heart attack risk, you know, physical activity, good eating habits, that sort of thing. That will also have beneficial effects for your brain health as well. Another study found that people cut spending when they are told that they spend more than others in similar circumstances. So that speaks to the need for people to have some benchmark data so they can see how in sync they are with other people. So anything that you can do to give people that background would be helpful. Along that line, another study found that 57% of millennials spent money that they weren't planning to on products that they saw in their social media feeds. So there's a bunch of FOMO going on there, you know, fear of missing out. People get influenced by what they see. Study also came out this year that found that high school personal finance course mandates were associated with smarter student loan borrowing decisions. So that's a good thing. And then kind of on a negative side, a report came out saying that 1 in 4 older adults report feelings of isolation, and this can shorten their life expectancy as much as smoking does. So that's kind of a serious type of finding that we saw. So lots of different interesting studies this year in 2019.
Okay. What were some interesting findings from federal government agency reports?
Well, the Federal Reserve has this study that they do called the SHED. It's an acronym for Survey of Household Economics. And they found in that study that 3 in 10 adults have a variable family income. So people don't necessarily have that stable income every month. You know, they have peaks and valleys in what they earn. The SHED also found that 39% of respondents could not cover a $400 expense without borrowing money or selling something. And they found that 1 in 5 adults had experienced major unexpected medical bills, and 25% have no savings or pension for retirement. The Census Bureau reported this year that fewer Americans are living in poverty. That's good news, but also that more lack health insurance. Not so good news. And the poverty rate was 11.8%, which was the lowest level since 2001. But 27.5 million people lacked health insurance this year. And then another report came out from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, and it was about youth financial education. And they reported that well-implemented mandates, you know, where states mandate that you have a personal finance course, if they're designed correctly, meaning that there's good curricula, there's good professional development for teachers who are teaching the concepts. When all those things are in place, financial behaviors of the students are improved. So those are just some of the findings this year.
What were some interesting financial events related to taxes and investing in 2019?
Well, we saw the first year in 2018 where people were impacted by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So, of course, they were filing those 2018 taxes at the beginning of 2019. So we saw that more than 25 million taxpayers switched to claiming the standard deduction versus itemizing. So now, this year, only about 10% of tax returns included itemized deductions, where before it was about 30% previously. About 20% of taxpayers were underwithheld in 2018. So in 2019, the IRS relaxed the trigger for underwithholding penalties. So people, you know, they gave them a little bit of a break since there was a lot of confusion following the new tax law. The IRS unveiled a new tax form for taxpayers that are age 65 plus, and that will be available for the next tax season. And they also unveiled a new redesigned tax withholding form, and that will be available for 2020 and beyond as well. Other interesting events, Morningstar announced that it's planning an evaluation system for cryptocurrencies. So that'll be very interesting. They've always kind of had evaluations for mutual funds. So this is another type of asset class, and it's predicted that more people will start putting money into cryptocurrencies, you know, things like Bitcoin, if there's a little bit more of a reliable source of information about them. So that we'll have to watch in future years. Some states are considering state-level fiduciary rules for their financial advisors because the proposed federal rule did not go into effect. And also we saw a lot of volatility in the stock market in 2019. It started off kind of in recovery mode from 2018 at the beginning of the year. We had various bouts of volatility. In May, there was a period of time where the stock market was dropping. But by November 15th of 2019, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had crossed 28,000. So, again, there's always volatility, ups and downs. When there's something in the news, it often affects the market. But the general positive trend was in effect.
What were some interesting financial events related to credit and banking?
Well, they reported this year that the average annual percentage rate on credit cards was 17%, and that's the highest rate in two decades. And the reason is that creditors are charging higher rates of interest to offset their generous rewards programs, because obviously these cashback rewards programs or miles or whatever the reward is are eating into their profits. So they needed to have some kind of offset to keep their profit margins, and so they're charging higher interest rates. So obviously that is more of an effect on people who revolve a balance. If you're a convenience user and you just use the credit card basically to rack up rewards points or just for convenience, and you pay the bill in full every month, you're not really going to be affected that much. Another interesting thing was that the robo-advisory firm Betterment started an FDIC-protected savings account this past summer with a 2.69% yield. And we're seeing that a number of what they call fintech firms, financial technology, are setting up these as well. You know, there's a company called Wealthfront, another one called SoFi, and these companies too have launched non-bank, that they call them non-bank banks, because they're partnering with banks, but they're kind of offering the accounts through their own platforms. Also this year, 106 million credit card customers and applicants were affected by the Capital One hack. So that was kind of a new credit card hack. And then also the terms of the Equifax hack from 2017, the settlement terms were announced this past year. And people who were affected were offered a choice of 10 years of free credit monitoring or up to $125. We also saw in 2019 three Federal Reserve interest rate cuts. So that's good news for anybody trying to get a mortgage or any other loan that's tied to Federal Reserve rates. And it pretty much almost totally reversed all the interest rate increases that took place in 2018. And then we also saw ATM fees climbed to a record high in 2019, and the average overdraft fee now is $33 and change.
What were some other interesting 2019 financial trends and events?
Well, we saw information about car prices. This usually comes out every year, and the average price on what they call a light duty car, so that's, you know, the bulk of cars and SUVs and everything, trucks that people would buy, increased to $37,401. That's the average cost of a new light duty car. The average loan amount is $32,000 and change. So people are borrowing pretty close to the amount that the car is costing. The average new car loan term reached a new high of 69.17 months, so almost 6 years. 2019 was the 50th anniversary of the financial planning profession, and that began with a small group of financial industry people who were mostly commission people and wanted to have a better way to service their clients besides selling products and servicing commissions. So 50 years later, they were celebrating the anniversary this year. We also saw the state of Pennsylvania launch a child savings program. They call it Keystone Scholars, where every child that's born or adopted in the state will get $100 that they can use toward college. Not a lot of money, obviously, considering the cost of college, but it's meant to change mindsets And there is some research out there that suggests that people are more likely to go to college if they have some savings. So this is kind of seed money for them. Statistics came out, 29% of the oldest baby boomers, you know, those who are 65 to 72, are working or looking for work. And this is the highest rate for people at that age group in more than 50 years. The millennials, looking at another generation, are approaching middle age in worse financial shape than any other living generation ahead of them. A lot of challenges there with particularly paying off student loans and just establishing yourself financially. Payday loan protections to ensure that civilian borrowers could repay their loans were rolled back by the CFPB. So that was a change. And also anybody who liked reading the print version of Money Magazine, it ceased publication in June of 2019. They still have online content, of course, but the magazine itself that got mailed to you no longer exists. And then, of course, what got headlines at the beginning of the year was the government shutdown, and that lasted for 35 days. And it really exposed the financial fragility of many U.S. households and the fact that so many people have either no or very low emergency savings. And there were some, you know, desperate stories that were profiled where people were cutting their bills in half and, of course, going to food pantries and looking for government supports and agency supports. And so it really just showed in case stories how unprepared people are when they lose their income. And then another kind of negative thing was auto loan delinquencies. I already mentioned the prices. The average car loan is $32,000 and change. A lot of people are falling behind, and it actually this year is the highest rate that's even past what the rate of delinquencies was during the height of the Great Recession, you know, back 11 years ago. And they estimate that 7 million car loan borrowers are 90 or more days behind on their loans. So that's a big issue. I mean, you get that far behind and, you know, you're going to get your car repossessed at some point. So that's kind of a wrap up. And of course, people can see even more. I just covered some of the highlights. People can go to our webinar archive and look at the entire webinar.
Absolutely. And a link will be available with the podcast recording. So thank you so much. This is always a great webinar to end the year on.
Thanks, Molly.
Thank you for listening today. You can find this recording and archived episodes of the Money Talk podcast, as well as an upcoming calendar of professional development events, blog posts targeted at military service providers, and more on our website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org.